Hello, and thanks for downloading the It's Not Just a Sensory Room podcast from the Sports Gazette with me, Evie Ashton. I want you to think about how your love for sport began. Chances are it was at a live sporting event with a family member or friend, one where you witnessed a historic victory, saw your idol win for your country, or even your team win in the local derby. One in five people are neurodivergent, meaning they have neurological differences, such as having autism, ADHD, dyslexia, dyspraxia, and Tourette syndrome. They experience the world in different ways, and often have requirements arising from sensory sensitivity or sensory processing difficulties. These people have historically been denied lifelong memories of an inspiring live sporting moment due to their sensory needs not being catered for. And this doesn't just affect those with neurodiverse conditions. The relatives, the carers, the best friends are also denied unforgettable moments with loved ones. What sports stadia have failed to have at match days are sensory rooms, a dedicated safe space for anyone of any age to support sensory regulation and help reduce anxiety through the use of calming equipment and strategies. This exclusion from live sport finally began to end in football in 2014, with Sunderland AFC becoming the first of many football stadiums to introduce sensory rooms. However, there is still much more to be done. Three of the top five largest stadiums do not have a sensory room: Twickenham Stadium, Old Trafford, and Millennium Stadium. I'm taking you back to the start of the 2022 cricket season, when one first-class cricket stadium made history and began to change this narrative in cricket.
Live sport should be accessible to everyone, whoever you are, whatever your background, whatever your needs.
That was Claire Daniel, the operations director for Edgbaston Cricket Stadium and pioneer of Edgbaston's two new sensory rooms. This marks the first cricket ground in the country to install a sensory room.
About 3 years ago, it became really apparent that it wasn't accessible for everyone. For specifically autistic children and young adults, coming to a match day was not only extremely stressful for their parents, but extremely stressful for the children. And I'm a massive sports fan, and the thought of not being able to watch sport, for me, I thought was a travesty, so we had to do something about it, and that's where it was born. I set up a wellbeing group at Edgbaston 3 years ago. And the more I speak to staff, my team, and understand their personal lives, I didn't realise how many people it affected and how many employees in the workplace had children that were suffering. It's having that 10, 20, 30 minutes away from large crowds. Sports stadiums are full of lots of people, lots of noise, lots of hustle and bustle. So having that calming space is incredibly important.
The new sensory rooms meant that the son of Warwickshire cricketer Danny Briggs could finally watch him play.
When he came to watch him play, he really struggled. And then obviously his wife couldn't watch because she was looking after the kids. And for him now, he just has a much better match day experience.
And off the back of the Commonwealth Games, the stadium introduced sensory packs.
So if you can't use the sensory rooms because they're full, which actually over the Commonwealth Games they were at points, you could go to reception, you pick up a sensory pack and it had ear defenders, had like communication cards, fidget toy, and that was about it in it. But enough so you could be in your seat, but you'll be distracted.
So far, feedback of the new sensory rooms has been very positive. But Claire stresses that just having a sensory room in a stadium isn't enough. How you operate them will have a huge impact on match day experience. For example, a sensory room only aimed at children will exclude adults with sensory processing issues. Similarly, a sensory room that isn't advertised in advance or has a restricted view or can only be bookable by one family will defeat the entire point.
It has been a massive learning curve on how to operate them. The negative feedback we've had is, how do you differentiate who can use it, who can't? Because not everyone wears a lanyard, not everyone walks around with a certificate, because that child's having an episode at that point. We're not qualified to say what that is or what that isn't. So a lot of it's on goodwill. Our initial feedback is amazing rooms and you get to see the cricket. People love it. We have to get our procedures better and we're working on that, because there are times where it's, okay, you kind of had your 30 minutes and they need longer, and we just need to do a bit more training on that. I don't think that's unique to us. I think that's around generally in the population of people. We all need a bit more understanding.
It's also important to understand that the needs of neurodivergent people vary enormously. And those with mental health conditions, like anxiety, must not be excluded from live sport either. Studies have shown that, as fantastic an innovation sensory rooms are, the addition of quiet rooms and fan zones has the potential to transform the matchday experience for many more.
Everyone should be able to do everything, whatever our needs are. We all collectively have different needs to each other, and that shouldn't be a barrier. So I think that's super important. Specifically around sensory rooms, we're looking at the moment like anxiety and wellbeing. How can we support people that don't want to be around 25,000 people, but also you can't put them in a sensory room because that takes away what that room's for? So can we create quiet pods or areas where people do need to just down regulate a little bit?
Sensory rooms and quiet spaces are just the tip of the iceberg in making live cricket accessible to all. If stadiums really want to be inclusive, accessibility cannot be secondary. According to Claire, accessibility must be at the forefront of every master plan.
We did a whole project around accessibility, and so it's not just sensory rooms. Have we got nursing rooms? Have we got enough prayer rooms? Have we got family toilets? Have we got a changing places? And, you know, what is our barrier to people coming? And how do we take them away? In any future developments that we do, it's up there as number one priority. We have a duty at Edgbaston to make it easy to come to us so that you want to enjoy your time. So why we would put barriers in is beyond me.
This historic first demonstrates the responsibility and power that stadiums hold to make positive change in the sporting world. Thanks to Edgbaston, several more first-class cricket grounds, including Lords, Old Trafford, Headingley and Riverside, have installed sensory rooms too.
So everything we do is generally based around, are we being good? Are we being true to our values? Are we doing right by the people? That's generally how we do things. We were the first cricket grounds to put sensory rooms in. Pretty much every cricket ground now has a sensory room. I think the more we talk about it with our reach, the more other people are realising that this is really super important.
Ultimately then, the introduction of the first sensory room in cricket in the country is about much more than a sensory room. It's ignited these conversations around accessibility for neurodiverse individuals in cricket stadiums all over the country. It has led to barriers being removed and ensured that the joy of live cricket can be felt by even more. And while firsts should be celebrated, the real celebrations will come when there are no stadiums left without sensory rooms. Claire Daniel is Operations Director at Edgbaston Stadium. She was speaking to me, Evie Ashton, for the It's Not Just a Sensory Room podcast.